Let me start by, start by saying hello. Hey. And a good praise, actually one of the better ones, if not the best one. We will baptize two children here next week. Gavin Atkins and Rachel Dollinger will go through the waters of baptism next week, and praise the Lord for that. Amen. Can't wait. Maybe more by then, if the Lord wills. So just can't wait for that. I had a message prepared for today, and as happens from time to time, at the beginning of this week, the Lord said, nope, not that one, not today, not no. So we sat down the first part of the week and went through some things and come up with something that the Lord had laid on my heart last week, and I'm going to give it to you today. And since then, since I finished this up Tuesday afternoon or Wednesday morning, it's become a major news story. So God's at work. I wanted you to know that right off the bat, that God is at work. With that in mind, turn with me, please, if you would, in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 is where we're coming from this morning. And all that I'm going to read you today from Matthew chapter 10 is in red ink, so we know this is Jesus speaking. Matthew chapter 10, and I'm going to begin in verse 17. Jesus is speaking, he says, "Be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. I tell you the truth, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." May the Lord bless the reading of His Word this morning. Mosul, Iraq's second largest city, has been overrun by Islamic State Group and other allied rebel groups in the past month. The Iraqi army units stationed in the city, most of whom are Shia by tribal affiliation, ran after the group crossed over from Syria and attacked in the north part of Iraq. Before the attack, Mosul's Christian community was estimated at about 3,000. Many are believed to have fled the city as part of an exodus of up to a third of the population there. Those who fled reported that churches and Christian-owned shops in the city were smashed. June was the first month in 1,600 years that Mosul had no Christian worship services. The attack on Christians has been severe and intense. ISIS has taken over large parts of Iraq, triggering the mass exodus from the Union. Those fleeing included tens of thousands of Christians who have left their homes with only a bare few possessions in tow. There have been reports of terrible consequences for those who don't obey the strict Sharia rules imposed by these militants, including beheadings and crucifixions. One man was reportedly forced to watch his wife and daughter be raped and killed by militants after the Christian family said they would not pay the tax for non-Muslims. A group called Middle East Concern is reporting that Christians have been given an ultimatum to leave or face execution by midday Saturday when the group comes into a new town. If ISIS has been true to their form in Syria, the Christians who remain in Iraq under their control can expect a life subjugated under brutally enforced variation of Islamic law and have to pay for that privilege. You understand what I'm saying to you? Not only if they choose to stay where they grew up and where they live and what they call home, they will be subjected to Sharia law and have to pay money to be subjected to that treatment. Human Rights Watch said it's also received reports that Christians are being ordered to convert, pay, or leave. ISIS followed up the decree with the orders barring Yazidi, Christian, and ethnic Kurd employees from returning to their government jobs. Iraqis have told Human Rights Watch of militants pillaging homes and places of worship and marking the properties of minorities, including Christians. The Islamic State has issued similar demands in areas controlled in Syria and posted pictures of Christians being crucified for disobeying these orders. We also now know children have been treated in ways that I choose not to describe here this morning because they follow Jesus Christ. It's all very depressing. It's all very disheartening. And I promised to rehearten you before we leave. Or at least I think we will. But there's one thing that I take from all this in light of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10. It gives me some hope. He said it would happen. And that tells me this morning, ladies and gentlemen, God's word is true. Amen. Take it to the bank. God's word is true. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 10 that this sort of thing would start happening, he told the disciples, before I even leave town. And it did. He told us in Matthew chapter 10 that this sort of thing would happen to him. And it did. He told us this sort of thing would happen after he left. And it has. God's word is true. You can count on it. Now these words that Jesus tells his disciples and he tells us, they're not exactly useful for recruiting to the faith. But they are true. We've been told the truth. In light of what's going on in Iraq and other parts of the world that maybe isn't being told to us on the internet or on television this week, there's about three things that I want to share with you and tell you this morning, and we'll just put them all three up there right now. First of all, we need to pray for those people. We need to pray for those people in the Middle East. Second of all, we need to realize that this is going to continue. And thirdly, we need to thank God that it's not us yet. We need to be thankful for that. If we can't do anything else as brothers and sisters in Christ, then we need to, and we need to be compelled to and feel led to pray for those people that are being harassed and killed and driven from their homes and separated from their loved ones all because of their faith in Jesus Christ right now as we speak. So all that being said, we're not just going to be hearers of the word, we're going to be doers. I'm going to ask everybody here to stand with me and let's pray for those people right now. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we don't understand it. We don't know why this is the way it has to be. But Lord, we reach out in prayer and pray for the upkeep and the upholding of the faith of those good people in Iraq right now that are undoubtedly asking why, that are undoubtedly asking why me. But Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would strengthen their resolve, that you would give them a stronger conviction, that you would strengthen their faith in you because your word is true. Let them resonate on that. Let them sink their feet in that. Let them stand on that eternal truth right now that your word is true. Let them be aware of the promise that you will see them through. God, we pray that you would spare the little children if it's your will. That you would spare their parents if it's your will. That you would spare them their lives, if not their homes. That you would spare them their homes, if not their money. That you would spare them their money, if not their faith. Lord, we just pray that you'd watch over and protect them. And somehow, because you are the only one that has the power, you would use this situation to bring about some good. We pray for the protection of those that need it. We pray for the faith of every single one of them. And we pray that you'd be glorified and that they and we and the angels in heaven would look back on this in the future and say, wow, look what our God did. We commit it to you in faith. In the most holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. So we need to pray for them. We need to realize this will continue. Persecution for people who claim to be Christian. Okay, it's not an isolated instance. If it were, Jesus would not have spoken about it 2,000 years ago. Listen to me. It's not just something that happens to brown people. We understand that. It will continue. It will get worse. It will elevate. It will broaden in scope. But all that being said, we need to be thankful, don't we? Amen. We need to be thankful. This is not happening to me right now. We need to praise God that He has protected you and I and our children from this sort of thing so far. We are not so different that we shouldn't expect it ever. You understand what I'm saying to you? We're not better than them. We're not more spiritual than them. Probably less. We need not expect that it won't happen. We haven't earned the right to be isolated from it. It's only by God's grace. In the United States of America, you and I have been given by God, I believe, the gift of democracy and the ability to elect leaders who stand on God's word. The ability. And we should not waste that grace. We should not waste that gift of the ability to elect leaders that will stand on God's word and God's word alone for the sake of money or politics or power or tradition or anything else. That's a gift we've been given, and we need to make sure that we're using it, okay? We have the power today to elect leaders that will either slam the door shut on this type of treatment that could happen to our children and grandchildren, or open it up. That is our gift. What will we do it? People have been saying this for a couple hundred years, but if America doesn't wake up spiritually, it's in for a rude awakening. Can I get an amen on that one? Okay, we cannot be so arrogant as to think that we can continue to do whatever we want and God will still bless us. That was the mistake that Sodom and Gomorrah made. I don't mean to step on toes. I need to realize that God's word is absolutely true. Jesus told us in verses 24 and 25 in our text this morning, He said, a student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. He's talking about himself and us. He said, it's enough for the student to be like his teacher. We're supposed to be like him. And the servant to be like his master. We're going to be like him. He says, if the head of the house, by the way, that's Jesus, has been called Beelzebub, has been called the devil, how much more the members of his household? In other words, what he's telling you and I this morning, if I was treated this way, how can you expect not to be treated this way? You can't. It's only natural. If you are a follower of Christ and you are like him, we should expect to be treated like he was treated by some. Then in verse 26, he goes on, he says, so do not be afraid of them. There's nothing concealed that will not be disclosed. Boy, we're going to talk about that here in a second. Or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. Go ahead, say it. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in heaven. What Jesus is saying here, he's saying very clearly, my word will be proven to be true. Jesus is saying, my word will be proven to be right. Jesus is saying, my word will be proven to be reliable. My word will be proven to be faithful. That's what Jesus is saying. My word will be proven to be true. Christians in Iraq are being told to leave, convert, or be killed. They're being told, pay money or be killed. Can I tell you what that probably means? Pay money before we kill you, because we're going to do that anyway. That's probably the lie. The whole idea of the shops being smashed and they're being told to pay money for their faith reminds me of the prophecies in God's Word that we already know are true. I'm going to come back to Matthew, but I'm going to flip over to Revelation chapter 13 this morning. Don't do a lot of preaching from Revelation. Maybe we should do more. I don't know. There's some differences of opinion on what some of these things mean, but I know they're all true regardless. All that being said, Revelation chapter 13 this morning, beginning in verse 11, John writes this. He says, then I saw another beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. Let's just stop right there. There's a lot of symbolism in this passage, in this paragraph, that we're going to save for another time. But it says he saw a beast coming up out of the earth. That means from amongst us. And we'll read the passage that alludes to it here in a brief moment. But Adam was made from the dust of the earth. This beast will come up from the earth. It'll come from within mankind, I believe is what that says. It also says it has the appearance of a lamb, the horns of a lamb. In other words, like a lamb, at first glance, it appears to be what? Harmless, gentle, docile, no problem, nothing to worry about. But if you pay close attention to what's coming out of its mouth, if you pay close attention to its fruit, it's very deadly and dangerous and evil. It says, he exercised, did the beast, all authority of the first beast on his behalf, and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose fatal wound had been healed. And he performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to the earth in full view of men. Because of the signs, he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast. He deceived the inhabitants of the earth. He ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. He was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast, so that it could speak and cause all who refuse to worship the image to be killed. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is man's number. His number is 666. It says many people will be deceived. Many people will be deceived. It says that they were forced to receive the mark of the beast, and if you didn't take it, if you didn't obey that decree, then you could not buy or sell anything. I don't think about those people in Iraq who have had their businesses shut down simply because they're Christians. Those people have been run from their homes and they couldn't take anything with them simply because they're Christians, okay? It says if you do not obey, all right, you will not be able to buy or sell. If you do not obey that command of the Antichrist, you will not be able to live a normal life. And we see this taking form right before our very eyes in our world today, all right? We see in Iraq shops being destroyed, right, and people's lives being turned completely upside down from an ideology, from a theology, by the way, that claims to be peaceful. What is the mark of the beast? I'll tell you, I don't know. People who claim they know are a little misled, in my opinion. I don't know. But I am sure that it'll be subtle. It won't be such a thing that when people are told, you've got to have this mark on your hand and your forehead, or you won't be able to buy or sell anything. It won't be so brazen that people won't be able to say, well, wait a minute, this sounds like the mark of the beast to me, I'm not taking it, and there'll be an uprising and it'll all be thwarted. It'll be very, very gentle. It'll be very, very subtle. It'll be something that has gained so much popularity that we will be more than happy to take it. It will already have that much momentum. Now, I personally have theorized that it'll have something to do with the cell phone. Right? Because what is it that is always on everybody's forehead or their hand right now? What is it that we have become so attached to that if you say you can't take that with you on this trip, that just gets people upset? What do you mean I can't have my cell phone? You can't bring that in here. You can't have it on. I can't do without it. It's going to be something like that. I'm not here to tell you this morning that cell phones are evil. Not at all. But I am telling you that just like anything else, it can be used for good or abused for no good. Apps. Got to have apps. Got to have lots of apps. They're increasing in frequency and availability, and exploding onto the scene with a velocity that no one could have imagined 5 or 10 years ago. All right? Every retailer has their app nowadays. And it's very useful. It's very helpful. It's very handy. Can I tell you that that's there for them to make money off of us, first of all? That's an aside. But I will say that the technology already exists and will therefore be coming down the pipe eventually. Where you can walk into a grocery store with that thing in your pocket because you have that app and we're required to have that app. The grocery store's computer will know who you are, what you put in your cart, and what you walked out the door with. And that is how you will pay for it. Doesn't seem too far-fetched all of a sudden, does it? Doesn't seem too far-fetched. Well, most of that's theory. But it needs to lead us all to the question, because if we believe that God's Word is true, then we know that the answer to this question is found there within. What is exactly that I'm supposed to do if I'm put in a position where I either accept something that is not Jesus Christ or be unable to live a normal life? What is it that I'm supposed to do if I'm told you either do this or you can't do business? You either do this or you can't get food. You either do this or you can't live your normal life. What is it that I'm supposed to do? Jesus told us. All the way back there in Matthew chapter 10, the passage that we just read, he was sending out the 12. He was sending out his disciples. He sent them out into the countryside. And he'd already said to them, and this is a little bit before that passage, back there in chapter 10, beginning in verse 7, he said, as you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have been given. Freely you have received, so freely give. Then he goes on to say, listen, do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Don't take money with you. Take no bag for the journey, no extra tunic or sandals or a staff. Don't even pack. For the worker is worth his keep. It says the worker is worth his keep. Is he going on this trip, this mission trip, Jesus, and you're telling him not to even take any more? What am I going to do for food? What am I going to do for shelter? What am I going to do for the supplies that I'm going to need? He's saying to them, watch, you all know this. God will provide, is he not? God will provide. Hath he ever not, church? What we need to learn from that is very simple. If you or I are put in a position, in a dilemma, where I can either honor God's Word and live according to it, I can either follow what Jesus has said, the Word that has been proven to be true every time, and either do what He said or get food. I can either do what He said or be popular. I can either do what He said or get what it is I'm after. If I'm put in a position where I'm either following God's Word or doing without, I need to have the faith in God's Word. I need to have the conviction to say, you know what? I'm going to stand on God's Word. If I truly need it, God will provide it. And if I don't get it, then I didn't really need it. I need to have that kind of faith. Because there's a very real chance, an increasing real chance, that we're going to be subjected to that kind of a decision. And soon, do we have that much faith? Teenagers, a word for you. School's going to start back. And I remember what it was like. I'm not that old. Every week, if not every day, you're going to be given an opportunity to either follow what God's Word says or do what everybody else says is normal or that you ought to do. I just want you to know that God's Word says you'll stay true, God will provide everything you need. When we step outside of that fence, we're on our own. Adults, same goes for us. God will provide. God's Word is true. God's Word is true, and it tells us, by the way, this is a total aside, there will be a treaty with Israel. Daniel 9:27. Take that to the bank. 7-year treaty with Israel, probably with Islamists. 7-year treaty. It will happen. It also tells us, said Jesus in Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, he who stands firm to the end will be saved. If we stand firm till the end, we will be saved. That reminded me of another thing that it said in Revelation in chapter 20. You don't have to flip there, but you sure can. This is talking about those who stood firm to the end. John writes there, beginning in verse 1, he says, and I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil. You see how this ties right back to Genesis? Oh, we're going there in just a second. That's how we're going to close. He seized that dragon, the ancient serpent, who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations. To keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. John says, I saw thrones. This is good. I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the Word of God. It says they had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. God's Word is true. If we stand firm on that till the end, we will be saved. That's the end of your life. That's the end of this hour. That's the end of this day. That's the end of this week. Stand firm. Somebody say amen. No matter what your specific circumstances, God's Word is still the way. God's Word is still the way. All right? It's true. It will be victorious. And listen to me, listen to me. This is where the good part comes. All the bad stuff that's going on in the Middle East. All the bad stuff that's going on in the locker rooms. All the bad stuff that's going on in New York City. All the bad stuff that's going on in Dobson, for that matter. Here's the good news. God will have His way. I know that because His Word says so, and His Word is true. Can you understand that this morning? God is going to have His way. I want to share this with you, and this is how we'll close this morning. All the way back in Genesis, all the way back there, we find out where it all went awry, where it all started in chapter 3. I'll just read it off the screen. That'll make it easier. Genesis chapter 3, this is the fall of man, where they took the fruit that they weren't supposed to take. The first sin was committed, and the Lord God said, the man has now become like us, knowing good and evil, knowing that you can sin. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand, listen very carefully, watch this, and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. He must not be allowed to take from it. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the garden cherubim, that's angels, okay, and the flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. That's what God did, okay? So we know that there was a tree of life, and it says if you eat from it, you'll live forever. Why did God put the tree there in the Garden of Eden? I'll tell you the answer to that. Because he wants us, you, me, everybody, he wants us to live forever. Amen? That's what he wants. That's why the tree was there. But we sinned, so we have no right to the tree. Oh well, what do we do now? Put an angel in front of it, a flashing sword back and forth? You can't have the tree of life because you have chosen your way over my word. And that's where we sit right now. But I honestly believe. As a matter of fact, I know because God's Word says that God is going to have His way. It will happen according to the original plan. There's no situation where you can put God in a predicament and He says, oh well, can't do anything with Him now. Can't do it. That's awesome. That's awesome that you can't ruin His plans. So all the way at the very end of Revelation, last chapter in the Bible. This is so good. Last chapter in the Bible. Revelation chapter 22, John begins that chapter in verse 1 by saying, then the angel of the Lord showed me a river, the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, that's Jesus, down the middle of the great street of the city. That's the city that was established for the 1,000 years. On each side of the river stood, what does it say? Well, there it is, it's back. It stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. And they will reign forever and ever. John says, this is so good. The angel said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent His angels to show His servants the things that must soon take place. So we see the tree of life right there in the middle of the garden, and we'll eat from it and we'll live forever. You see, when the end comes, God will have His way. Man's evilness didn't ruin any of it. It just took longer. God wins every time. Hallelujah. I take a lot of pride in that. I'm glad of that, ain't you? Close with this. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 14, and you just picture those people with those guns killing Christians, those guillotines beheading Christians, those crosses crucifying Christians, those Islam people, Muslim people, or whoever they may be over there. You just picture this. Paul told the Romans, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Christ is Lord. Everyone, God will have His way. Every single knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. You believe that, preacher? You bet your bottom dollar I believe it because God's Word says it. You bet your life I believe it. Do you? You bet your eternity I believe it. When has He ever told us anything that wasn't true? Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You that You have been found faithful and that will never ever change. We mess everything up. We do, Lord. We mess up relationships. We mess up marriages. We mess up jobs. We mess up churches. We mess up this world. Mankind messes everything up. But God, so awesome are You that there's nothing You can't fix. All we need to do is just trust You. Only trust You and You alone now. For in that is life. May Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, may Your will be done in each one of us as it is in heaven. Father, may Your will be done in this church as it is in heaven. May it be done in this community as it is in heaven. May it be done in this nation as it is in heaven. For in that and that alone, Your will, do we find true life, true blessing, true provision, and true glory. Thank You for what we will receive. Help us to pursue it even now. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. God's Word says that Jesus made the statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by Me. And I believe God's Word is true. I believe you can't go to heaven. I believe you can't live eternally unless you come to Him. Ask Him for His forgiveness and give your life to Him. Follow Him all the rest of your days. Have you done that? I'm telling you, God's Word is true. Take that to the bank. If you haven't, we can take care of that today. I hope you will. As we stand and sing.